Hello, folks. This is the 11th episode here of the Hawks Watch podcast, and this is your host, James Arnold. I'm coming to you here on a Thursday evening, the night before the Hawks play the Heat in a potential elimination game scenario. Could potentially be, the last game of the season for the Hawks. Hopefully not, but it could be. So wanted to get on here tonight, before that game, kind of go over what happened in the loss on Tuesday to the Magic, 25 point loss. Not a good game for the Hawks in, what was their most important game of the entire, season to date. And yeah, we'll get into what happened there in two items that, really perturbed me. I'm also going to do just a, brief summary of the top, five core players on the Hawks from this season. Just quick, recap of a broad overview of their season. We'll visit that briefly first, then move on to Tuesday night's game, and then I'll talk a little bit about previewing the Hawks Heat game tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And at the end here, we'll talk a little bit about the Sacramento Kings, who lost to the Dallas Mavericks last night and got eliminated from the playoffs. That was not good for the Hawks getting the first round picks this year from the Kings. So I'll talk a little bit about that in the end. Aside from that, I do apologize about the quality here. I am in the process of moving in, actually, am just recording in an empty room, so it's a little echoey and not with my normal recording setup. So if it sounds a little weird, I do apologize about that. But without further ado, let's play the music and get into it. I appreciate everyone listening. Just some quick takeaways from key players on the Hawks. Obviously, you're gonna start with the best player on the team, Trae Young, the only All-Star on the team this season, and the only All-Star on the team for the last 7 years, ever since he's been here. But he got 24 points a game, 11 assists per game. Counting stats to me, don't really mean a whole lot. I mean, 11.6 assists per game, you can't fake that. What's more important to me is, the style of play. And with Trae, I think he's the best passer in the league. He has elite assist to turnover numbers and just passes the eye test. Yes, he does get a lot of turnovers, but also, has basically the highest usage in the league. And so, can't really hold that against him. His team offensive impact on the team is always been, extremely positive. He broke multiple historic records this year, and yeah, again, think he's the best passer in the league and one of the best point guards. So, Trae Young speaks for himself. Dyson Daniels, cannot say enough good about him. As I've said probably multiple times on this podcast, we're going to do a deep dive on all these guys and really dive into the numbers this summer, which I will have more time. So hopefully I'm able to, get episodes out a little more consistently. I think it's been almost 2 months since I put out the last one. But, anyway, Dyson Daniels, in my opinion, top three defender in the league, hands down. I, you know, honestly think he should be Defensive Player of the Year, and that's not just because I'm a Hawks fan. It's just because I watch him every night defend the best player in elite fashion. I mean, the team defensive numbers with him are incredible. He's got 3 steals a game, which hasn't been done in decades. Really just one of the best guard defenders that we've seen in the last, few decades. There really hasn't been many players like this. So, again, we'll talk about length about him in the offseason later on. Jalen Johnson, you know, he took the next step that you want to see from him before he got hurt. You know, the numbers with Jalen on the court versus off the court this season were crazy. Again, it's something we'll look into, you know, later in the offseason. Onyeka Okongwu, he has burst into the starting lineup. He has been playing like a monster. Second half of this season, really after, you know, he took over the starting job. And importantly, you know, he's continued to develop his 3-point shooting. He's taking more threes, which is really important, and making more threes. All while, you know, being a good passer at the center position. He allows us to stretch the floor, and he's playing elevated defense. So really playing at a, you know, a solid, very good starting center level, and he's on a, you know, cheap long-term contract. So Onyeka's looking really great. If he can continue to be this moving forward, I mean, I have zero doubts about him being a, you know, really good long-term starting center. So, if he can keep this level of play and be this consistent, I'm all for keeping Onyeka in the starting center position. But we'll see what happens in the years to come, and we'll, again, talk about that later this offseason. The last player I just want to touch on real quick, Zachary Risacher, the number one pick from last summer. He's developed really nicely this season. His 3-point shooting has improved a lot. He's shown, you know, good ability to finish around the rim with his length, and he has a lot of craft as well. He's definitely got a lot more comfortable. He has a high basketball IQ, really good defense, especially for a rookie. So he's developing really nicely, and I think he's going to be kind of that perfect glue guy, and they really need a shooting long-term, especially if, you know, these 5 guys are going to be, you know, the starting 5 of the future, or what they at least try to go with next year. Zachary's shooting and improvement and development there will be, or continued development there, I guess I should say, would be really important for this this crew, as well as Dyson Daniels. If he can, I mean, he's shooting about 35% from 3, so if he can do that, I know it's low volume, but just hit the ones that are open that, you know, he's supposed to take. As long as he's taking them, you know, that's good. So I'll stop talking about these guys. We'll do a lot more in the off season on this, but just wanted to kind of, you know, take a little recap of what happened since the regular season is now over, and really haven't been able to get on the podcast to go over this with you guys. But next segment that I want to go over is the play-in game that happened on Tuesday versus the Magic. I was actually at a concert, which was really good, in Athens, so I didn't get to watch all of it live, but I have gone back and, you know, watched most of the game back. Even, you know, just from the box score, I was looking at it night of, and you could just see, you know, I have 2 major issues that I'm going to go over here, and this is the first one. Even from the box score, you could see the Hawks shot 4 of 21 from 3. If you tell me that before the game, I'm just gonna automatically say we're gonna lose. It was the worst shooting performance of the entire season so far, which is crazy because that's a lot of games, 82 games. This was the worst, shooting game from the Hawks, even though it's the most important game they've played yet. But it's a horrible percentage at 19%. But what's even worse to me and is more damning almost is the low volume of attempts, 21 attempts. For reference, the Magic, they were the worst three-point shooting team of the year, and that's what their biggest, one of their biggest weaknesses is. Even they took way more threes. They took 39 threes. That's almost double. And they made 11. So that's not a good percentage. That's 28% for the Magic, 11 of 39. But that is seven more made threes than the Hawks, because the Hawks shot 4 of 21, which is just terrible. That's seven more made threes, 11 of 4, which is 21-point swing just on 3 points, 3-pointers. So, yeah, I really didn't get it because that's an advantage that the Hawks should have, and it made no sense, especially because the Hawks are playing smaller than the Magic, and they have a lot of size and length on the Magic that the Hawks, don't really have the personnel to deal with. So, I mean, the Magic are one of the most, physical teams in the leagues. So, in the league, so I, really don't get why you'd try to, only go inside the paint instead of, trying to get more three-pointers. I mean, I know the Hawks were trying to get three-pointers, and I do want to credit the Magic for having an elite defense. They were playing good defense and chasing the Hawks off the three-point line because that's part of the strategy. But also, I mean, as the Hawks, you just have to generate better offense. I mean, you have Trae Young. I know there's no one else that's really generating elite offense, so it's easy to just kind of dial in on him. But I mean, as the Hawks, you just have to play better offense, especially when you were playing small, which is my second frustration, which I would argue this is even more frustrating to me. So, okay, number one issue, the 3-point debacle, 4 of 21 from three, bad percentage, bad volume. The second item of that game that just really I don't understand. Quinn Snyder, the Hawks coach, played George Niang and Dominic Barlow together. Some of you listening to this podcast may not even have heard of those names, to be honest. But you don't play those guys together in a game that matters. Those, Niang, it's a slow. He's really not. He's 6'7", so at the power forward, that's not very big. He is kind of large, but not quick-footed. And then there's Barlow, who's an undersized center. Yeah, it just again, the Magic are a big, big physical team. They have a lot of forwards. Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner. We've got guys like Wendell Carter Jr., Jonathan Isaac, even like Anthony Black is, big for his position. Like, it's a big physical team that hangs their hat on defense. And if you're going to allow them to play against Niang and Barlow on offense where they're not very good, they're going to be able to just bully you to get points. Anyway, it made no sense. In my opinion, one of Mo Gay, who is, a 6'11 elite athlete, and not the most proven player in the league, but, Mo is a really special defender. And so either he and Onyeka Okongwu, at least one of them, should have been on the court at all times. It just didn't make sense to play Niang and Barlow together. You didn't have to. They did it in the first quarter. Like, I was at the concert, and my good friend was actually had the game pulled up on his phone too, and I was looking at it, and I literally said to him, like, it was first quarter. I hadn't even watched the game. I said to him, why is Niang, Barlow, Terrence Mann, and Trae Young on the floor at the same time in the first quarter? That is just a terrible defensive lineup against anyone, but especially against playing one of the biggest lineups in the league. Yeah, I just don't get it. I said it on Twitter too. I was just shocked that Barlow even played at all. I mean, he's a 21-year-old undersized center who, you know, is not like proven in the league. He has defensive challenges. He's nowhere near ready for this spot. And so I just don't get it. I mean, if you were going to play him, again, you got to at least put him next to like a 6'11 Muhammad Gay, who is an elite athlete, great defender, best, you know, big defender that they currently have active on the team. You know, again, not counting Jalen, who's hurt, and et cetera. Anyway, I think it was just insane to do that, especially in the first quarter. I was baffled to see that lineup out there. I would not have imagined that ever to see that. But it happened, and the Hawks got smoked on Tuesday. So I can't say it wasn't their fault either. Kind of had it coming. The only thing I will say is, like, yeah, their second best player, Jalen Johnson, is hurt. And, you know, their two backup centers, Clint Capella and Larry Nance, are hurt. But, you know, that definitely lacks some size. But, again, you have a guy like Mo Gay you can go to. Like, you're disadvantaged there, but you could have made up for it better than what you did. Like, that was just terrible choice of lineups. Anyway, I'm going to stop going on this rant. I could talk about that at length. But I'll stop there. I'll turn to, preview the upcoming game versus the Heat. I mean, you know, those two things that I just mentioned, let's start there. I mean, I do not want to see Dominic Barlow playing. And if he is, it better be next to, you know, Mo Gay, who can provide the defense that he needs. So that's for starters. Miami Heat are not, as big of a team as Orlando, but it is a team that, you know, has good coaching. They've been good defensively. Historically, they don't have as many, you know, talented guys as maybe they used to, but they're coached well. They're physical, still pretty good defensively, and they can give you some problems. Also, Tyler Hero, for some reason, I mean, he cooks us sometimes. Like, he's cooked us this year, and I mean, Dyson does a good job on most guys. He's done good on Tyler Hero, but some other guys got to step up defensively because it's a little rough right now. Terrence Mann is playing like crap. V. Krejci is not playing good defensively after he got hurt middle of the season by, actually, Jonathan Isaac of the Orlando Magic, who also hurt Larry Nance. They just don't have a lot going for them defensively at the moment, other than Mo Gay and, you know, I guess Onyeka Okongwu, who's just solid defensively. So, yeah, I'll stop talking about that, but that's item number one for me on tomorrow night when they face the Heat, is that you just cannot play Niang and Barlow together. And I would not play Barlow at all. I would play Niang as few minutes as I could as well. I would play Mo Gay a lot of minutes because he is, and if you don't know who Muhammad Gay is, he is a 6'11", ultra, ultra athletic, lanky, very long, like, he is just a physical specimen. He's a very slender guy, but he is extremely athletic and has a lot of length that causes a lot of problems for people defensively, and he's really quick. So like he has the foot speed to stay with guys, and yeah, he brings a dimension that to the defense that the Hawks team just doesn't have, and so they just need him right now. There's a world actually where I think Muhammad Gay might be the backup power forward behind Jalen Johnson next year if he can, you know, keep up what he's showing, especially defensively. Okay. Anyway, aside from O'Gay, he should play more. Caris LeVert, just hope he, you know, plays better. They're going to need him to, you know, shoot well and score and, you know, play some solid defense. He's, you know, probably wish for more, a bigger body there, but, you know, that's, he's solid. So can't really say too much bad about Caris LeVert. Zachary Risache, I hope he plays a little bit more as well. He didn't play very good versus the Magic, but he's had some really big games, and he's been really impactful in the last, 3 months, really, since the start of the year, after he kind of got going. Second half of the season, he's been really good. And again, he's 6'10". He's just a guy that gives you length and athleticism. He can hit threes. He can take it off the dribble. Like, he makes the right plays, and they need him. They need his size and just versatility. Also, he's good in transition, so, and defensively. So they just need to use him as much as, as much as they're willing to. Dyson Daniels, you know, he didn't actually have any steals in that Magic game, which is really weird for him, but, Dyson is Dyson. I trust him. And then Trey is Trey. You hope for, you know, a good Trey game. Miami in the past, of course, has given Trey some issues when he doesn't have, you know, a secondary ball handler to give it up to. But I think Dyson fills that role pretty well. And, I don't think Miami has the defensive talent that they once did, and so I'm not really as concerned about that. I definitely think it's a very winnable spot. The Hawks, in my view, haven't looked, but they really should be favored in this game, and I am pretty confident that they're going to win it. If they do win it tomorrow night, again, that's Friday night, they're going to start the series versus the Cleveland Cavaliers on Sunday. And so be a little bit of a quick turnaround for them. And obviously that's, you know, disadvantage of the play-in. All these other teams have had, you know, like a week plus to, recuperate before they start the playoffs. But that's the disadvantage of the play-in. That's why you want to avoid it. And aside from having to play the best team in the league, if they do make it to the first round versus Cleveland, we'll talk about that when we get there, but I wouldn't project necessarily a win there. I don't think the Hawks are really going anywhere, but we'll talk about that more this offseason. It was not really a year where they're expected to go far in the playoffs, and that's not really the goal this season, but I am really excited to, you know, hopefully be able to watch a playoff series with the Hawks, because, you know, Dyson Daniels, Zachary Risache, these are young guys who, those would be really good reps for them, and for guys like Mogay, who, again, you know, I think he might be a big part of next year. So it's just going to be interesting to see what happens tomorrow night, and we'll go from there. There is one final item that I'm going to cover today before I do get off of here, and that is the Kings pick. It's something I've been tracking, especially, you know, the last few months of the season. Basically, if you remember the Kevin Huerter trade a few years back, we got a protected pick from the Kings, and It is potentially going to convey, it's actually very likely to convey this year. Now, last night the Kings lost to the Dallas Mavericks and got eliminated, so they are not going to the playoffs. That is bad for the Hawks because this pick is top 12 protected. Now, without getting into it, the lottery is made up of the 14 teams that, don't make the playoffs. So, they're in that mix, and if it's in the top 12 of picks, the Hawks won't get it. Now, the Kings are basically straddling that line, and without getting into the nitty-gritty, the Hawks need to beat the Heat so that the Heat's record is, so that the Heat are out of it, or so that the Heat's record is worse than the Kings, and they're out of the playoffs, because if they get in, they bump the Kings down another spot. And so that's going to be the best outcome. The Hawks need to win tomorrow also for draft purposes, not only just to get the young guys, playoff experience, even when I don't think it's going to go anywhere. So that's an interesting development. That's a real pick. It has real value. I think, if it doesn't convey, it goes to next year, the 2026 draft, and it becomes top 10 protected. So not much more upside. But the risk is if that pick doesn't convey next year, then it would turn into 2 second-round picks, which obviously is a lot less value than like a mid-round first-round pick. I mean, look, Jalen Johnson was pick number 20. Like, the Hawks have gotten really good players from mid-first-round draft picks. So, could be a helpful player that we get this summer. Maybe a I don't know, backup center, big backup center could be a, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm sure we'll talk about that as things get closer and see if that pick conveys. But hey, I did it today, under 30 minutes. I know I rambled a bit today, but it was good to get some thoughts out and come to you guys here tonight before the, again, potential elimination game tomorrow night. Again, I think it's winnable. The Hawks just need to play better lineups, shoot more threes, make more threes, take care of the basketball. Play good defense. I know all of that sounds very simple and obvious, but it's true. It's something they didn't do on Tuesday, but they've shown the ability to do all those things, win on the margins, even if they don't shoot well. So we'll see what happens. I have a lot, feel more positive about tomorrow night than what happened on Tuesday. So we shall see. Hopefully the Hawks win, and I'm able to do a little preview on the Celtics situation here in a couple days, or the Cavaliers series in a couple days. If not, probably we'll wait to see. I don't know. We'll see when I record. But I do appreciate everyone listening to this show. Again, on the audio quality, I apologize if it's been a little off, but again, appreciate everyone listening. If you want to follow me on Instagram, you can do so at HawksWatchPod, and then on X/Twitter at HawksWatch99. If you see me there, I'll see you guys. Hope you've enjoyed the episode, and again, appreciate everybody listening. Hope you enjoy the game tomorrow, and take care.